Welcome to Remedy and Rhyme, where the voices of poetry and plants entwine, offering nourishment for the spirit and a gentle return to the heart of nature. I'm your host, Kimberly Kling of Joyful Roots, clinical and community herbalist. I'm so glad you've joined me here to share in the stories, reflections, and simple ways these green allies can nurture our everyday lives. This podcast is for educational and inspirational purposes only. I'm not a medical doctor or a licensed health professional, and nothing shared here is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. The information provided has not been evaluated by the FDA. Herbs are powerful allies, but not without personality. If you experience an allergic reaction or discomfort from any herb mentioned, please stop using it. Also, if you're taking medications, check with your doctor about potential herb-drug interactions. Most importantly, you and you alone are the steward of your own body. What you choose to consume, apply, or integrate is entirely up to you. This is about health empowerment. Listen with curiosity and always honor your own body's wisdom. These episodes are dropped the first Wednesday of every month, and to go along with this podcast, I have a Patreon community where you can join me to explore these plants deeper. Find that at patreon.com/joyfulroots. Hello, hello! I am so thrilled to be here again for another month of Remedy and Rhyme, another month of learning about a new plant. And April, one of my favorite months. I love spring. And today I have a very special plant friend to bring your way. You may or may not know about this plant friend, depending on where you live and what you've had experience with. But today we are going to talk about creosote bush, which is a Southwest desert native that is native to the Sonoran and Chihuahuan deserts where I live, and this plant is also called Laurea tridentata and La gobernadera. And I will be excited to get more into the wisdom and the gifts of creosote bush, but first let's start with a poem. This is a poem written by me, and I feel like it's sort of pertinent to what's going on in the world right now. So that's part of why I picked it and part of why I picked creosote bush to talk about for this month. Also, she's blooming right now and it's very beautiful. So this poem is called Only Stronger. At this moment, I'm a boulder. If you push me, I'll push back harder. Your pressure fills me up with steam that bursts from cracks you've formed in me. For eons you have chipped away the sacred heart that guides the way. Like pick to ice, hammer to stone, you make your mark through beating known. I've taken injury to corpse and mind, but my soul remains untouched with time. My willow body bends with ease, and my ironwood heart is the fortress I need. Your hate will try to keep us small, fill us with fear so we may fall. But our souls are here with missions blessed. We incarnate now to withstand the test. Rock-formed pillars aligned with stars, ancient trees are protected by ours. Try you may to bring them down. They live on in us. Our spirits are crowned. An army is here. It's a love brigade. The energy is shifting and will pave the way. The dirty deeds of little minds won't stand a chance when truth it finds. Try you may to block the source, but hearts of gold remain on course. We are solid now, alchemized through light, blazing beacons steadfast through night. Our internal strength is built as quartz, obsidian mirrors form reflective swords. In a desert dry, we deal with strife, but yet the land holds so much life. Reminding us that beauty dwells in desolate places as the sacred well. There's hope still in our transformation. Nurturing love could save a nation. If you've ever been to the Sonoran Desert, you may have experienced the privilege of the first inhale of rain-soaked desert air, that unmistakable resinous perfume rising up from the land. That scent is many things, but a large portion of it is creosote bush. And before you even see her, she has already reached inside you and done something. She's changed something in you, sparked something, like a past memory, or maybe a new one made. Creosote bush goes by so many names, and I will probably use them interchangeably throughout this episode. Some of them are chaparral, Laurea tridentata, Lagobernadora, and many others. She has a deep taproot that can pierce through the caliche, which is the nearly cement or desert rock that lives below the soil surface. I have much experience with this stuff. And creosote creates a wide, shallow root system that can drink in even the briefest desert rain. If you think about that duality for a moment, she's simultaneously reaching down into the unseen, the hidden, the ancient water table beneath that hardened surface, and also building a wide root system, staying open, receptive, and responsive to whatever small grace of moisture may fall from the sky. This is the spiritual posture that my poem calls us into, to have an ironwood heart and a willow body, to be rooted so deep that no pressure can uproot you, and yet be supple enough that we can receive the drops of nourishment that the world offers, no matter how scarce they are. Creosote leaves are coated in this amazing resin, a resin that benefits us medicinally, yet is also kind of boundary keeping in itself. This resin deters pests and consumption. The same leaves orient themselves toward the sun during the coolest hours, conserving energy and moving wisely. Creosote bush doesn't expend her energy recklessly. She is strategic with her life force in a way that only the long-lived can truly understand. There's a teaching in that about discernment, about knowing when to open and when to seal your edges, when to reach and when to take action, and when to go inward and restore the reserves. And in the driest conditions here in this desert, her leaves will curl into the shape of an upside-down umbrella. She funnels what little rain and moisture does come her way directly down to her roots. She knows how to receive. She knows how to not let nourishment scatter and evaporate. She catches it and directs it exactly where it's needed the most. In that way, she is the governess of her own life, accountable and empowered. This incredible plant carries many names, as I've mentioned, and she is a very important plant to traditional communities of the Sonoran and Chihuahuan Desert regions. This is where she's known as La Gobernadora, which means the governess, or she who governs. This name was given now not out of some mere poetic fancy, but because of something she actually does. Creosote is so masterful at securing the water that she actually inhibits the germination of other plants in her immediate vicinity, ensuring that what falls from the sky comes to her. And at first glance, this sounds like dominance, like a queen drawing a hard boundary around her territory. And in the harshest desert conditions, that kind of sovereign self-preservation is not selfishness, it is survival wisdom. And she knows what she needs, and she protects it. But here's where I think this name kind of deepens, because a governess, in the truest sense, is not a tyrant. She is a keeper. And creosote, even as she governs the water around her, also serves as what botanists call a nurse plant. This is a plant that offers a sheltering presence beneath whose canopy other desert life finds shade, protection from wind, and a foothold in otherwise impossible terrain. And although she seems to be selective about what life she offers this gift of nurturing to, she does create conditions under which other life can exist around her. And then in that sense, she becomes a custodian of the precious, the young, and the vulnerable. She governs not by force, but by a presence, by a steadiness, and by her sheer refusal to abandon her post. She presides over some of the most punishing landscapes on earth, the Mojave Desert, the Sonoran Desert, the Chihuahuan Desert. And she doesn't just survive them, she orders them. She gives them coherence. She is the most common shrub across three North American deserts, and there's a reason for that. Mainly because she shows up consistently and across the millennia. She doesn't fight the desert. She becomes the answer to it. So perhaps the people who named her La Gobernadora understood something layered and true, that real governance, the kind worth honoring, holds its ground and makes room for others to live and even thrive within that circle of protection. She rules not to diminish, but to sustain life, to honor life, to build more resilience. And in a landscape as unforgiving as a desert, that is no small thing. As I mentioned, I live on the land in the threshold of the Chihuahuan and Sonoran deserts. This is a land that I love, a place that is home of the incredible San Pedro River Valley, and right in the heart of unceded Chiricahua Apache people who fiercely resisted American encroachment on their territory for decades. And to name it, I want to say that this was land that was taken by force, and the people of this land were exiled. The story of Creosote Bush feels particularly resonant to that fierce commitment to the land that is your home. There is also a Thana Odom presence in this broader region, and I wanted to mention them because the Sonoran Desert, Creosote home belongs in the most profound sense and original sense to the Thana Odom people. Their name means simply the desert people, and they've lived here in deep relationship with this land and these plants for more than 10,000 years, as long as Creosote herself has been recorded as living. I want to do my best to honor this incredible plant that I have built a relationship with over my time living in the desert, because I believe this plant deserves reverence and appreciation. And I want to also be respectful and honor the people that have grown alongside this beautiful plant. One of the best ways that you can personally honor a plant is by also building a relationship with that plant and treating them with gratitude and respect, like you would a friend. From what I've been told, in the Thana Odom creation story, Earthmaker scraped soil from his own chest, breathed it into being, and from that sacred act, the world was made, the mountains, the rivers, the animals, the plants, and the first plant to rise from that newly made earth was creosote, the one that was willing to be first, and the one who made it possible for everything else to follow. I am not the keeper of this story. It belongs to the Odom people, and they are very much alive, so I'd encourage you to seek this story from indigenous voices directly. The Thana Odom Nation has a cultural center and museum, and their official home is at tonation-nsn.gov. I'll leave links to that in the show notes. But I named this here because I don't believe it's accidental that this plant, who first rose from the earth in Odom cosmology, is the same plant who has governed this desert for 11,000 years. She was present at the beginning. She holds the memory of it all. And when we learn to receive her teachings, we are, in some way, learning to listen to the land itself and to the people who have always known how to hear it. Alright, so let's dive into creosote's gifts for the body. And I want to be honest with you before we dive in. Creosote bush is a strong herb and should be approached with care and consideration. So as we explore what she has to offer the body And there is a lot. We'll also talk about where to tread lightly. Creosote bush is called the medicine chest of the desert for good reason. Once you start looking at what she actually does, it's hard to argue with that title. Indigenous peoples across the Southwest recognized long before modern science arrived to confirm it that creosote possesses analgesic properties for pain relief, antiseptic properties for topical infection, antiviral properties against a whole range of viruses, antibiotic properties against bacterial infections, and profound antioxidant and anti-inflammatory action. Creosote bush is an amazing first aid plant and one that I call on often, being that I live in an area surrounded by her. One of my favorite preparations of creosote bush is an infused oil. It has the most incredible scent to it, and if you enjoy the scent of the desert when it rains, then you may really enjoy the infused oil, but not everyone appreciates the scent. Sam Kaufman of Herbal Medics Academy describes creosote as a master at helping with tissue proliferation while simultaneously preventing infection and wounds. And that dual action is really the key to understanding why she's so remarkable as a first aid herb. She doesn't just kill bacteria, she actively supports the body's own process of regeneration at the same time. The Kaweah people, whose nation continues today in Southern California, have historically used a powder made from the leaves and applied it to wounds for its antiseptic qualities. The Pima people, known as Akamil Otham, recorded uses that include applying it to a newborn's navel to promote healing. Whether these specific practices continue today within these communities is something only they can really speak to. But the historical record tells us how profoundly trusted this plant was in daily life, present at the very beginning of a person's existence in this beautiful desert. Larea's antioxidant and anti-inflammatory actions make this plant a wonderful ally for hot inflammatory conditions like arthritic joints that flare in the heat, sore muscles, bruises. Women have traditionally used compresses of the leaves to ease menstrual cramps and birth pains. I've even heard of using a spit poultice in the field. Just chew a few fresh leaves and apply it directly to the area that is inflamed. Just a little note of caution here, if it's your first time using creosote bush, it's best to do a patch test because some people may be sensitive to the resin, and before you apply it to a large area, you may want to know how your skin will react. Like I mentioned before, the sticky resin of creosote's leaves infuses beautifully into oil. I like to infuse it into olive oil, but you can really use most carrier oils, something that works best for you and that you have access to. You can take a clean jar and fill it loosely with dried leaves, and then cover it completely with a good quality oil and let it sit for at least 2 weeks. As it's infusing, you can gently shake the bottle every couple of days, and then when it's done, you'll strain out the leaves and keep the oil. Because of the high antioxidant activity, it's really amazing how long this oil will actually last on the shelf. This oil is so useful for burns, bites, fungal infections, inflamed or infected skin, and it's also a really lovely base for a wound salve if you want to take it a step further and blend it with beeswax. Creosote bush also has a deep affinity for the lungs and the sinuses. Creosote's decongestant and expectorant properties make her genuinely helpful during colds, respiratory infections, and even asthma. The steam that rises off the leaves saturated in boiling water has an amazing decongestant action that I myself return to season after season. A sinus steam is such a beautiful way to work with this plant, and there's something very right about filling a bowl with hot water and creosote leaves, covering your head with a towel, and just breathing her in. You're receiving the same volatile oils and aromatic compounds that fill the desert air after rain, and they're going directly into your sinuses and your lungs. To make a sinus steam, bring 4 to 6 cups of water to a boil and get yourself a nice heat-proof bowl. Add your creosote leaves to the bowl. Put it on a countertop or a table somewhere where you can easily lean over without burning yourself. And you'll place a towel over your head and put your head under the towel, over the bowl, close your eyes, and position your face roughly 10 or so inches above the bowl, close enough to feel the steam, but not close enough to burn yourself. And then breathe deeply under that towel for up to 10 minutes. You can do this a couple of times a day during an illness or whatever feels good. Creosote combines beautifully in a steam blend with other desert aromatics as well. I'm thinking things like juniper, pine, even rosemary, which is native to the Mediterranean region. But you can build something more complex than just creosote bush, or use creosote bush on its own. Internally, creosote bush really does require some extra care and ideally the guidance of an experienced herbalist or a traditional healer that has worked with this plant a great deal. Traditionally, creosote bush has been used for gastrointestinal complaints like food poisoning, bowel issues, and diarrhea. The gum, or what's called lac from the plant, has been used for dysentery and intestinal spasms historically, and the diuretic properties of creosote have also made her useful for supporting urinary flow. A chaparral tea, as it's often called, made from the creosote leaves, has also been used traditionally for gallbladder and kidney stones. But I will ask you to not work with this plant casually. Creosote deserves reverence and caution for real reasons. The primary concern is the liver. There have been some documented cases of liver damage, but the jury is still out exactly as to what was at play here. However, we can have caution around this plant, especially if you have any pre-existing liver conditions like hepatitis, liver disease, or compromised liver function. This probably is not a plant that would make sense for you to work with internally. It's possible that the kidneys may also be detrimentally affected with overuse of this plant, so again, proceed with caution. If you want to work with creosote internally, again, it may be best to work with a trained herbalist or someone who is a traditional healer that knows how to work with this plant, and it should be used thoughtfully in low doses for short durations and as part of a well-designed formula. Creosote's also contraindicated during pregnancy and while breastfeeding, and it can adversely affect uterine activity. If you're taking prescription medications, particularly anything that is processed by the liver, please consult a healthcare provider before working with creosote internally. And I'd like to wrap this up with one word of wisdom. If you're interested in getting to know creosote and working with her, just get to know her. Build a relationship with her slowly. She's been here for 11,000 years and she's not going anywhere. So when I sit with La Gobernadora, I feel like she's asking us something. She's asking, what are you governing? What is the territory of your life that you're being called to preside over with that same fierce, faithful, rooted type of love, not to dominate, but to tend, to show up for season after season, even when the rains don't come, even when the conditions are brutal, even when it would be so much easier to just let things die. And here are a few more journal questions. She has both a deep tap root reaching into ancient hidden water and shallow roots that are ready to receive the briefest rain. Which root system are you neglecting right now? The depth or the receptivity? Creosote bush holds the memory of at least 11,000 years of desert life in her rings. What ancestral wisdom lives in your own body, passed down through lineage, through land, through survival, that you haven't learned to trust yet, but want to trust? La Gobernadora does not govern through dominance, but through her presence, through the sheer consistency and constancy of her showing up. Is there anything in your life that's asking simply for you to be faithful and consistent in your presence rather than forcing something or pushing something to happen? Well, I hope you've really enjoyed this episode. And if you didn't know who Creosote Bush was before you listened to this, I hope you have a better understanding of her now, or that your understanding of her has grown in its rootedness. Thanks so much for joining me here, and I can't wait until we explore another plant next month. But in the meantime, join me over on Patreon. We have a lot of fun there with different recipes and more information about each of the plants that I speak to in this podcast. I am so excited to keep sharing the wisdom of plants and poetry with all of you. If you enjoy this journey and would like to help support this podcast, whether energetically, financially, or just by sharing it with a friend, I would be so grateful. Your support helps to keep this space alive, allows me to continue exploring new herbs, crafting new episodes, and sharing inspiration with you. One of the easiest ways to support this podcast is to rate and review it in your favorite podcast app. You can also join our Remedy and Rhyme Patreon page, which is available at patreon.com/joyfulroots. You'll find all sorts of goodies there, including plant stories, recipes, and more. There is a free membership, but if you are able to help support the podcast, there are some great perks with the paid memberships. And also, I have a shop on Patreon where you can easily purchase educational material like a class or a zine and further your own herbal knowledge. Another way that you can support the podcast is by getting yourself some of the most amazing matcha on the planet. It's Posana Matcha. It's certified organic, third-party tested to ensure that it's free of heavy metals, pure, safe, and absolutely delicious. This is the matcha that I always turn to because I know it's the highest quality and I just love it so much. So I'm excited that I can offer everybody that listens to this podcast 15% off if you use the coupon code JOYFULROOTS. You can find the link in the show notes or head to posana.net, that's posana.net, and use the coupon code JOYFULROOTS at checkout. Although I love sharing my poetry with you, I really would love to make this a community collaborative effort. So don't be shy. Feel free to send some poetry in my way. And I'm going to keep a running list of plants that I'd like to talk about in the future. You can find that list on my website at joyfulroots.com/plantpoems. That's PLANTPOEMS. Thank you to Akun Baradine for their music, Bedtime After a Coffee, which was in the intro and outro, and also to Lights by Sakura Girl, and Asher Fulero for Exploring the Crystal Caves, which was the music you heard in the middle of the podcast. And thank you so much to The Plants, number one, the greatest of all herbal teachers, to all of the herbalists that I've learned from. There's just too many to name. And for all of my family and friends for supporting me on this podcast journey. And to all of my amazing patrons and customers and clients, this really wouldn't be possible without you. So thank you again.